Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet or meet you, my name's Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. Stick around. You might get tired of hearing it, but there's literally no place I'd rather be than right here with you all worshiping God and praising His name. I'm excited that you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us. And as we continue our series today entitled Good News, we get to share all of the good news that Jesus has poured into our lives and encouraged us with and empowered us with. And I'm excited for today because it is something that each and every one of us have walked through. And sometimes we walk through it in a way that brings honor and glory to God. And sometimes we walk through it in a way that amazes God. And I want to ask you all a question. And if you've never heard me preach before, when I ask a question, I expect an answer, whether it's verbal or nonverbal. In this case, it's going to be a nonverbal one. So we're just going to shoot up our hands if you've ever had a day where you felt like you were disrespected. Okay, it looks like I'm in the right room today, and the message that God placed upon the leaders of the church is going to hit home for almost all of us. I think that everybody that might not have raised their hand wanted to totally disrespect the rules and didn't want to raise their hand. But let's pray. Father God, thank you for who you are and who we get to be because of you. God, I pray that as we move forward today, Lord, that every word that is spoken would point to you and draw us closer to you in every way, shape, and form. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to be reading out of Mark 6 today, and I think there's power in reading the Word of God over everybody. So the verses aren't going to pop up behind me, but I'm going to read through Mark 6, verses 1 through 12, so that we can just gather the whole entirety of what we're going to be going through today. It says in verse 1, Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right up here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe him. Then Jesus told him, a prophet is honored everywhere except for in his hometown and among his relatives and his family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went from village to village, teaching the people, and called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick, no food, no traveler's bag, no money. He allowed them to wear sandals, but not to take a change of clothes. And he said to them, wherever you go, he said, stay in the same house until you leave town. But if any places refuse to welcome you or listen to you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. Now, as we go verse by verse, you have a big picture on the 12 verses that we're going to uncover today, that we're going to unpack, that we're going to walk through. And as we walk through them, I pray that you place yourself within this passage of Mark 6, that you answer the questions that are going to be formed, that you place yourself, your family, your friends, your neighborhood in this passage in Mark 6. So let's go back to verse 1. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. Listen, the population of this town, it wasn't real big. It wasn't a huge place. Most writings place it as there were about 300 Jews at the time. So this is like a one-stoplight town that just blinks. never had a wall, poor water supply, one well in the town and the village for people to use. And the disciples were following him. Not unusual to have a rabbi or a teacher that would have disciples following them and the teacher teaching and an entourage around them. So we need to understand that as we are following Jesus, that it's not an accident. It's not something we just trip into. We need to be deliberate and intentional in the way that we follow when we're walking with him. It needs to be an intentional thing. So as we're following him and it has intentionality behind it, it makes me form the question. Are you being intentional in following Jesus, or are you just a casual acknowledger of who he is? This is our first question that we get out of this passage. Are you acknowledging him and what he's done and what he has helped others experience? Or are you following him and walking in the fact that he is everything he says he is for you, for your family, for your neighborhood, for your friend group? There's a difference between acknowledging and following, and you need to decide which one you're doing. Verse 2, the next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and knowledge and power to perform these miracles? Now, I want you to know that in these verses, we saw that Jesus went to church. On the Sabbath, on the day that you're to rest, he went to church to go get filled up, to go fill others up, to go encourage and empower and equip and challenge. He did it. So as you maybe move from acknowledging to following, we need to follow Jesus. Sundays are important. I feel old in making this statement, but maybe I am getting older. I don't know. The salt and pepper's coming in the beard. A lot of those gray hairs are from you all, but it's okay. I won't get into that. Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. But but it was important to him. Sundays used to be a day where everything shut down. There were maybe a few gas stations open. Most restaurants were closed. And if they weren't closed, they closed at 5. If not earlier. Why? Because we had a culture that understood the importance of the Sabbath. A day of rest, a day to be with family, a day to be with friends, a day to be with Jesus, to honor him and glorify him. That was one of the best things about COVID, whatever your beliefs are on it. I'm not going to get into that, but it caused us to slow down. It caused us to have a perspective of what was really important in life. Jesus understood that, and he wanted the people around him to understand it. They all saw him walk in, and they were like, where did this guy come from? This local boy making it big. They knew him. They knew his family. They were amazed. Now, this word is a different word than the word that's going to be used later on to describe amazement. They were astonished. They were wowed. They were excited about what he was doing and what was being done through him. But that so quickly shifted. It changed. Verse 3, then they scoffed. Well, they went from being amazed and wowed and excited about this local kid making it big, and then it changed. The haters arrived. And what do haters do? Haters gonna? It's a little younger up here than some of the other. They knew where I was going. That's what they're gonna do. He's just a carpenter. the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and his sisters, they live over there, right next to us. They were deeply offended by him and refused to believe him. Now, here's another part that we get to ask a question. How many times has it been spoken over you? You're just a fill in the blank. Oh, I know their parents. Oh, I know their brothers and sisters. I know them. I'm not going to listen to him. He's just a carpenter. I've walked in this. Oh, he's just the son of Michael and Claudia. He'll always be a mill kid. He's probably going to become a mill hunky. That's what I grew up hearing. Oh, I know his sister. I know their family. I felt like I made it when I was no longer Candace's little brother, but she was Nick's sister. It's like, I did it. I've arrived. I'm no longer defined by my past. But you have to understand this. There are going to be people that grew up with you. There's going to be people that raised you. There's going to be people around you that are going to scoff at what you're doing. Oh, you're going to church? What about last week? Well, that's in the past. I'm going to walk past that. We all have things that people can pull out and scoff at. We all have things that people can point back to. But we're called to point forward and move forward because we're following someone. You ever followed someone backwards? No. If someone's leading and you're following, you are watching them. Now, I have followed some people before that have driven all the way back from New Jersey with their turn signal on, but that didn't keep me from following him. Jim, I love you. You're the best father-in-law in the world. And then I finally got in front of him because I knew the way. And he was following me. It's kind of a picture of life. This young kid meets a girl, meets Jesus, and then becomes his in-law's pastor. Now he's following me in a way. And when he does that, he leaves his high beams on. The whole way. Is this not the carpenter? Is that his family? He seemed so normal, so ordinary, so usual. Nothing spectacular about him. They pointed him out in an offensive way. They said, oh, he's the son of Mary. Should have been, he's the son of Joseph. But they wanted to dishonor him right as they described him. Maybe at 13 or 16 years old, somewhere in there, he became a carpenter. Worked hard, was a good employee, was good at his craft, was growing in that. He's only in ministry for 3 years. He spent 5 times as much as a carpenter, paying taxes, working 40 to 50 hours a week, plus overtime. I don't know if there's a union back there, but he probably got like double time and a half on holidays if he worked them. His birthday. When we look at Jesus, we need to look at the entirety of who he is. Being like him is day in and day out, everyday routines, being faithful to your spouse, loving your family, honoring God, being honest with integrity, doing good work for your employer and those who work for you, being like Jesus. Because remember, 5 times the amount of time that he was in ministry, he was just like you and me. He set the example in every way, shape, or form. I think it's really cool that Jesus is referred to here and referred to in the past as the carpenter. Not a carpenter, the carpenter, the carpenter, the one who builds, the one who will take things and make something out of them. He's the one. He's him. The world's trying to take that and talk about everybody. Oh, he's him, he's him, he's... No, Jesus is him. He's the one. Listen, some of us are a remodel in progress. And the carpenter is doing it. Not just a carpenter you found on Craigslist or whatever the place you go to find laborers. He's the one. Some of you, you're a remodel right now, but some of you, you're a ground up start. You're new construction. All of us have been at one of these stages or another in our life. But just find trust and belief that the carpenter is doing it. So let's unpack this a little bit more. Nazareth High School, it's career day. Jesus goes to the carpenter table. He got a pen. He filled out the paperwork. And he chose to be a carpenter, the builder. He made that choice. Listen, mighty works were completed by his hands. Not only the miracles, but I believe that Jesus was a good carpenter. He was honest. He walked with integrity. He built things before he started building people. Amazing. To think this and to understand this. In our mind, we need a philosopher, a theologian, and that's it. And Jesus was those things. But I'm a Mon Valley kid. And when I say I need a carpenter, it changes things. I know what it means to say I need built up. I was a broken, scared, depressed little boy until I met the builder. And listen, there were some things that were already built over my 19 years of life that needed deconstructed first. And then they got built back up. And then some additions were added. And then there was a remodel to the things that were built. We needed to freshen some things up. And now there's just been addition after addition after addition. It's a compound now. Why do I say it's a compound? Because many people have been invited to benefit from what was built. And I'm excited to say that. I'm excited to look out here and see people that are being built, some from the ground up, some are remodeled, some you're getting an addition. You're getting added to week in and week out. But then there's your family. Whew. They even scoffed at that. The sisters that were with him, they were offended because they were pulled into the negativity, the scoffing. If you were asked today, just as all the people that were there when they were praising him and then scoffing him, do you know Jesus? They'd say, yeah. They would just say something about him. They didn't know the whole truth. Listen, there are people around you that they're going to say something about you. They're going to say something about you. They're going to say something about your family. They're going to say something about your past. They're going to say something about you. they're not going to say everything. It wasn't a false view of Jesus that they had. It was just an incomplete one. There may be people in your life that they don't have a false view of you. The things that they're talking about might be true, but they don't have the complete story. Only the builder does. Remember that. Listen, we do the same thing. We know some things about people, but we don't know the whole truth. We pick what we like and what we want to talk about, both with people and with Jesus. They were offended. This offense caused them to stumble, caused them to get caught in a snare, a trap, caused this offense to be a stumbling block. Jesus was rejected. Listen, if they rejected him in his hometown, they will reject you. But eventually, favor will fall upon you and your life and everything that you're doing, just as it did for Jesus. His parents prayed for him, Luke 2:52, may he continue to grow in wisdom and favor and stature before you and man, God. Lennon's had that spoken over him every single day of his life. I speak that over you all. May you all grow in wisdom and favor and stature before the community that you're placed in and God. You got to grow up in it. Mark 6, verse 4. Then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. You're a messenger of God. And you need to understand that you're going to be honored. Sometimes you're going to be dishonored. It wouldn't have been easy to be Jesus in this moment. And it definitely wouldn't have been easy to be his family. Think about his brothers for just a moment. Oh, if you were only like Jesus. If you only did things like him. If you were only perfect like him, if you were only sinless like him, imagine what his family went through. Think of Joseph. Jesus was his adopted son, pretty much. And all of his siblings knew that he was. Maybe as they were raising him, they tried to get them to know who he truly was. Just a question. Think about the times you've been honored, you've been dishonored, you've been disrespected, and how it has caused you to move forward. Has it stopped you, or has it pushed you forward? Let's think about this moment. Jesus is working. He's ministering. He's doing what he's called and created to do. But what was this thing that hindered Jesus' work? Disobedience. Disobedience hindered his work. This statement that Jesus was amazed and marveled wasn't a good statement. He was amazed at the disobedience and dishonor. And you may think, I would never. When the word of God is being preached, are you on Facebook and Snapchat and TikTok and checking text messages? I don't know. I don't know if you are. Are you falling asleep? I don't know. Well, I do know. I do know if you're falling asleep. I have a great view of that. It's wonderful to see sometimes. But I do see that. I do know. And the people behind you see if you're on Snapchat or TikTok or Instagram or text messaging. They see that. God ultimately sees it. Or are we bringing reverence and honor to his name in everything that we do? That's the question. What are we doing as we follow him? So the amazing thing here is that there were things that hindered Jesus' work, but there were also things that amazed him. And there's two things that amaze him, and they're polar opposites. Our faith amazes him and honors him and brings joy to him. The way that we're walking in faith of him, the way that we're helping others meet him and grow in their faith, it amazes him. I could just imagine him looking at us and thinking, man, that portion that I built in their life, that's going to be used. It's going to be used. That brings him great amazement and joy. What also amazes him is complete unbelief. Or just a little bit of disobedience. It amazes him. After all that I've done, all that's been taught to them, all that they're growing in and worshiping me for, how could they walk in unbelief? It amazes him when those who should have faith don't. It's amazing to him. So you get to choose. How are you amazing him? You get to pick. Here's another question that you have to answer. Listen, we have so many reasons and so many ways to believe in Jesus and who he is. Jesus gives us so many reasons to believe in him. How do you move forward in the things of your life when you know that you have a past? You look back and see how he was working as you were going through it. And that helps you to look forward knowing that he's able to do it again. Your faith comes from the things that he's done in the past. Your belief comes from acknowledging the fact that he's pulled you out of some stuff and he'll do it again in his timing. Because his timing's perfect. He doesn't have to set his watch. I wonder what kind of watch Jesus wears if he wears one. I just wonder. We'll see. We see that through these verses that Jesus' power was hindered whenever people didn't believe who he really is. So here's another question and a heart check moment. I need you all to ask yourself, how am I hindering him with my unbelief or my lack of trust? How am I hindering him? Faith to stand under the title deed, to stand under who created you and is building you and is remodeling you and tearing things down so that he can rebuild. The conviction of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Listen, I don't get to know everything that he's going to do. But I've seen the things that he's done, which causes me to trust about the things that he's going to do. I'm divinely persuaded to trust him because he's done it and he'll do it again. Then Jesus went from village to village teaching his people. Verse 6. On his bad day, he didn't stop and just quit. He kept it moving. He kept going. He tried to persuade everyone because of the way that he went forward. Nothing stops him. He didn't get fixated on those that were scoffing at him and pointing at his family and saying, oh, he's just a carpenter. No, he's the carpenter. He didn't get fixated on those things. His mission moved forward. Everything that he was called to be kept going. He went from village to village. Jesus went back to his father's business, his mission, his purpose, and he lived and only did what he saw his father in heaven doing. He kept it moving. You think that saying was created by the world? Another one. Jesus created everything, and the world will try to take it and discount it. Keep it moving. That's a Jesus thing. It's not a worldly statement. It's a divine one. Keep it moving. Verses 7 and 8. And he called his 12 disciples together and began sending them two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. He told them to take nothing for their journey except a walking stick, no food, no traveler's bag, no money. And he allowed them to wear the sandals that were on their feet, but didn't take a change of clothes. That was really sweet of Jesus. Listen, you could wear those sandals, but don't take anything else. Why? He wanted them to fully trust in who he was as the provider, who he is as the Prince of Peace, as we sang in worship. Every one of them knew that they had Jesus, but they also had each other to walk with. Listen, you got sandals, I got sandals. I got clothes, you got clothes. We'll find food. And I don't have no money. Well, listen, favor ain't fair, and you just got to walk in knowing that he is the provider. Now, you may be thinking, like, I don't have anybody to walk with. I don't have anybody to walk with. I don't have anybody. If my sandals break, I don't have no sandals. And that's why you need to get in a group. That's why you need to get into a group. Because there's going to be a whole bunch of people there that got sandals. And they know how to walk. They know how to follow. They know how to encourage you on your worst day. I guarantee the disciples are like, Jesus, just don't even sweat it. I guarantee they were. Listen, don't worry about them. They don't know who you really are. Keep it moving. We're with you. We're going to ride. Actually, they were going to walk with the same sandals that they were allowed to take. But don't go at this alone, guys. Don't go at it alone. Groups are kicking off September 7th. They'll be announced here soon, and you'll be able to sign up even before then, but they kick off the week of September 7th. And I know what you're thinking already. Well, I'm scared. So was I. I don't want to sit in a room with Klingensmith. Why? Because I was comparing myself to him and the others that were going to be in that group, and I wasn't good enough. I was just a mill kid. What if they figure out who my family is? What if they figure out my past? Then I went and I was met with grace and mercy and love. And I told them everything that I was worried about them finding out. Everything. How depressed I was, how anxious I was, how fearful I was, how broken I was. And they helped the builder build. They were the ones that went to Home Depot, picked up all the supplies, and then went back and realized, well, we got the wrong stuff. And then went back again. And they saw half the church there because they work there now. Stop back in the Millie department, visit Jeff Rohrig. He's back there carrying doors around. I got a Home Depot hat a couple weeks ago. I'm going to start to wear it and just pretend like I'm doing inventory. Listen, Jesus delegated everything to these men to go. He taught them, listen, I encourage you, I empowered you, I equipped you, get it moving. And he told them, wherever you go, he said in verse 11, 10 and 11, stay in the same house until you leave town. But if any places refuse to welcome you or listen to you, shake its dust from your feet, and as you leave, to show them, we're out. You don't want to welcome us? Another thing that the world took from Jesus. Taylor Swift didn't say, shake it off. Jay-Z didn't say, just go and brush your shoulders off. No, that's a biblical thing. Dust it off and keep it moving. The Crips didn't create that. No, Jesus did. Jesus told you to brush the dust off your feet and keep moving towards what he's called you to do. And some of you are like, who are the Crips and why did he brush his shoes off and do this? Listen, you'll figure it out. Others are like, I can't believe that he did that. Because it's biblical. It's Jesus telling you to dust it off, shake it off, keep it moving. Don't allow for your past to keep you stuck where you're at and get going. Amaze me. Amaze me. So the disciples went. They told everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with oil. Notice it does say olive oil, which is the finest of all oils, if you get a good one. So I have a question. Who's here today and you've yet to do what these people did? Who's here today and you've yet to repent of your sins and fully be placed at the table that you were called to sit at? Who's here today and you've yet to fully follow him? You're just acknowledging him. Who's here today and you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've met Jesus? You didn't just hear about him. You met him. You didn't just take what people have told you about him. No, you met him in a real way, and he started building. He is who he says he is, and you will become everything that he's created you to be, but it starts with, Jesus, I need you. I need who you are. I need who you've created me to be. So if you're here today and you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've met Jesus, I want today to be your day. Stop acknowledging him and meet him and follow him. If you don't have a day, a time, a place, let today be your day. And I'm going to ask you to do something really brave. Just slip your hand up and say, God, that's me. I need that day. I need August 17th, 2025 to be my day where I turn from my past, I receive your forgiveness, and I follow you as Lord and Savior of my life. If you don't have that day, let today be your day. Anyone at all? Don't worry about the people in front of you, behind you, beside you. They want to celebrate with you. The angels want to rejoice with you. Let's keep building. Let's keep building the kingdom. As a matter of fact, you get to check out a video behind me as we prepare to continue to build.